This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
A group of scientists led by James Hansen have explored the extreme possibilities of climate change this century. I'm not qualified to judge the science, but I do disagree with one of Hansen's solutions, which is nuclear power. I'm going to talk that over with one of the greatest anti-nuclear activists in America, Michael Marriott. Why is the world's most famous climate scientist helping out America's biggest electricity producer, Exelon? And why is James Hansen trying to get the people of Illinois to subsidize Exelon's dangerous old reactors in Illinois? Even stranger, why did the death of environmentalism guy Michael Schellenberger suddenly pop up with a new front group called Environmental Progress Illinois? Who is the billionaire funding all that? And why did Hansen join the board? Questions, questions. And for decades, I've relied on the nonprofit Nuclear Information and Resource Service, the NIRS, to get answers on nuclear power. The group was formed in 1978. Michael Marriott has been its executive director since 1985. Due to health concerns, Michael stepped aside for the new director, Tim Judson. But thank goodness that doesn't mean Michael has shut up. Without him, I would never have known about the nuclear swamp in Illinois and Hansen's questionable connections there. Michael Marriott, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about the reactors, technically the reactors that James Hansen wants to save.
Well, sure. And let me give you a little bit of the backstory here. Exelon is the nation's largest electric utility, having recently taken over the local utility in the Washington, D.C. area, Pepco. So it was the nation's largest nuclear utility, owns more nuclear reactors than any other, but now it's the nation's largest electric utility, period. However, they have several reactors, older reactors, located around the country, but especially in Illinois, which was their original home base, that are uneconomic. In other words, the power they produce costs more than they can get for the power. And that's because there's competition. And the competition is coming in Illinois from both natural gas and especially from wind power that's mostly located not in Illinois, but located in Iowa and Kansas and the rest of the Midwest, which are all big wind power states. So Exelon has been, for at least 2 years now, been threatening to close some of its reactors unless they get additional subsidies, either directly from ratepayers in the form of higher rates or from taxpayers in the form of some sort of legislative mandated subsidy. Now, we look at these threats, of course, as opportunities. Rather than threats, we think they should close these reactors, and we wish they'd act on these threats. But, you know, what they're really doing is just trying to gouge Illinois residents.
Yeah, but the reactors that they have, are these the same GE Mark I reactors with the holes in the bottom that helped the Japanese Fukushima reactors melt down?
Yeah, several of them are Fukushima clone reactors, GE Mark I. Two of the most threatened reactors are at a location called Quad Cities, which is on the Illinois-Iowa border. And then another one is at Clinton, which is mid-state. It's a newer reactor. It's a GE Mark III, I believe. So it has some improvements over the older GE reactors, but it's the same fundamental, what's called a pressure suppression containment design that failed at Fukushima and is actually, and most people don't realize that, this is not that different from the containment at Chernobyl that failed, which also used a pressure suppression design. People think Chernobyl didn't have a containment. In fact, it did have one. It just wasn't very good. So, yeah, some of these reactors of that design, and these are old reactors. Clinton is the newest one by far. It came online in, I think, 1987. But the other reactors that Exelon has been having problems with, and not only in Illinois, but also in New York and some other states, are mostly 1960s and 1970s vintage reactors.
So what did James Hansen do?
Well, see, this is where it gets interesting, because Exelon really has no arguments on its side for wanting these subsidies, other than greed. They can close these reactors, and clearly there's enough power available to meet Illinois needs because it's already there. And it's underpricing Exelon's reactors. So the power isn't really needed. The cost of the power from the reactors is more expensive, as I mentioned, than the alternatives. So that's not really a good selling point. So the only selling point they have is carbon emissions. And, of course, nuclear reactors are low-carbon sources of electricity. They're not carbon-free. And the nuclear fuel chain, if you want to, if you look at it as a holistic system, it is certainly not carbon-free. There's substantial carbon involved, much more than renewables, which and efficiency, which we believe should replace these reactors in Illinois and elsewhere, should and could. And in fact, in Illinois especially, you already are replacing them through wind power. So the carbon emissions is the only argument they have. And they're arguing that Illinois can't meet its clean power plan obligations if these plants close, which is almost certainly untrue. But for Dr. Hansen, this just seems like such a stretch for him to argue that these right now three reactors in Illinois are somehow essential to meet the demands of climate change, because they're not. Unfortunately, and I have a lot of respect for Dr. Hansen. I was writing my first piece on climate change and nuclear power. I was actually writing it the day he was in Congress for the first time, testifying about climate change and warning the world that we have to take this seriously. And so I actually included him in the article I was writing at the time. This was back in the 80s. I'm not going to argue I'm much more prescient than the next person, but I was pointing out then that this was going to be an opportunity for the nuclear power industry to try to revive based on climate. And, of course, that's instead of trying to revive, they're trying to merely exist in Illinois, because we're talking about old reactors. But, it's just ludicrous to claim that the fate of the planet depends on these reactors in Illinois and their emissions, especially when their power, A, isn't needed in the first place, and B, can be replaced with more wind, more solar, more storage, more smart grids, and all the other technologies of the 21st century that are, really how we're, later in the century, how we're going to be getting all of our power, and, the time to be moving toward that faster is now.
I read Hansen's book, Storms of Our Grandchildren, and there's a lot of great stuff in there about the climate. I learned a lot about the climate from it. But he, again, pushes reactors there. But there he's talking about Generation 4 reactors, a new brand of reactor which actually doesn't exist yet, but he thinks will be safe enough that we can go forward. It's a long stretch from that to go back to these 1970 reactors, a couple of which have already blown up, and say, we need to keep those going too.
Right, exactly. And that's the most disturbing thing about what's happened and about Hansen and Michael Schellenberger, who you mentioned earlier, sort of teaming up in Illinois, because Hansen has, in fact, been espousing Generation 4 reactors all along and urging environmentalists to support these Generation 4 reactors. Now, as you said, they don't actually exist, which is true. And we don't support them anyway because they, we think they all have their own flaws, different from the flaws of the current reactors, but they all, have their own flaws. So we see no reason to pursue them because the alternatives are available. But to have Hansen go back on what he was saying, the whole concept of safer reactors, he seemed to at least understand that the existing nuclear reactors are not adequate. And when you go back to the kinds of reactors we're talking about here, these General Electric reactors that already have, failed so dramatically on, as we all saw on our TV screens 5 years ago, that is a real change. And it's a very disturbing change because it means that he's really not understanding the nature of the risks from nuclear power. And in Illinois in particular, not understanding the realities of what's been happening in that state over the past 2 years with Exelon's, constant lobbying for bailouts and in subsidies, which is, you know, really, I can't put it any other way. It's really more a matter of greed than anything else.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. Let me give you a break for a second while I tell you about my own experiences with Michael Schellenberger and Ted Nordhaus. They were originally funded by the Nathan Cummings Foundation, who were famous for products like Sara Lee. And they started that Breakthrough Institute in California. The institute, it turns out, was just an office in a plaza in El Cerrito, California. Michael and Ted appointed themselves as senior fellows, which was kind of an abuse of the common understanding of that word, usually reserved for people who had good academic standing and a lot of production in life, and these guys didn't. Michael's kind of a publicist, and Ted was a pollster. So now Schellenberger and Nordhaus's Breakthrough Institute has Rachel Pritzker behind it. She's the chair of their advisory board. And this Pritzker family has 11 billionaires in it with a combined worth over $30 billion. And on their website, the group Environmental Progress Illinois, which Schellenberger set up, acknowledges that they're funded by Rachel Pritzker. And incidentally, James Hansen is also on that board of that little group, and I wonder if he's paid to be there, but that's another question. So why did Schellenberger suddenly pop up in Illinois? He's a California guy. What's he doing there involved in this fight? And it turns out that the Pritzkers and the founders and CEO of Exelon, they rub shoulders all the time because the Pritzker family is so deep into Illinois politics. It's one of the most powerful families in Chicago. One of the current billionaires is Penny Sue Pritzker, who's the U.S. Secretary of Commerce. They've just been going at it together for a long time. And so what we're talking about here is kind of a billionaires club who seem to have engaged a publicist and a famous climate scientist to see if they can get some more money for their old reactors.
Well, actually, that's very interesting because I didn't know that. I didn't really know the source of Breakthrough's funding. I just know that Schellenberger has always said he doesn't take money from the energy industry, and he's been pretty consistent on saying that, so I've believed him on that. But now, yeah, hearing that, I can see why he doesn't need to take money from the energy industry. Yeah, I mean, it was quite a surprise to see them come into, you know, what is really a local battle, and it has to do, you know, with more than just what it seems on the surface, because, you know, the Illinois state budget is a mess. I mean, you know, things in Illinois frequently are a mess at the legislative level and at the state budgetary level. And that's, you know, part of the problem here is that these issues get drawn into larger issues in the state. But the reality is that Exelon has, for 2 years now, been saying that it needs subsidies to avoid closing uneconomic reactors. And actually, the reactors that they cite have changed over this period. 2 years ago, they were saying that the Byron reactors were particularly threatened. Well, then an investigation revealed that the Byron reactors were actually making money. So they went to Quad Cities. So, well, those are the ones that are failing. You know, we really don't know what to believe about from Exelon, whether these reactors are in fact unprofitable or not in the first place, because they don't provide the kinds of details that would make, you know, outsiders understand that. And B, why should Illinois ratepayers or taxpayers pay extra for their electricity just because it's nuclear, which is really what Exelon is asking for? And it doesn't make sense. And again, the only way you can make that argument, the only way you can frame it if you're on that side is, well, it will help save the climate. You know, I'm not going to argue that keeping those reactors running would be better from a climate perspective than replacing them with a coal plant, you know, for example. You know, nobody's going to make that argument, but that's not the choice we have before us. We have a choice of maintaining the status quo, which is a combination of wind and gas, and sort of slowly moving more and more toward wind, which is the trend, and away from gas, which we would like to see. We don't support gas. You know, we don't support fossil fuels at all. which, you know, is the other side of the choice, is putting up more solar and more wind in the state, which the state could use. That provides jobs, provides industrial activity, you know, helps build the economy. And so it's something that the state could use anyway. So, you know, their argument just falls apart, you know, especially when you realize that the amount of carbon emissions we're talking about from, you know, three reactors in the center of the country is, you know, when you look at the grand picture of things, it's pretty minimal.
Yeah, you published about this in an article called How Low Can They Go? That's in Green World Blog at safeenergy.org. And in that, towards the end there, you had to question your own belief in James Hansen, it seems. I mean, all of us have admired him. I continue to admire him as a giant in the climate field. But it shows that even giants can kind of have their blind spots.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, first it's important to remember there is a difference between being a climate expert, which I am not, and being an energy expert, which I'll lay at least, you know, some claim to, not full claim to, but at least some. Dr. Hansen is not an energy expert. He is a climate expert, and it is a big difference between the two. And for a long time, I sort of just chalked his pro-nuclear stance up to that. You know, this is, you know, I should be clear, Dr. Hansen has been pro-nuclear for quite a long time. That part of it is, you know, not new. I mean, he, back in, I guess, 2013, he wrote a letter to the environmental community, an open letter urging all of us to, you know, support these Generation 4 reactors we mentioned earlier. We and the Civil Society Institute, we being NIRS, and the Civil Society Institute organized a response. We had 300-plus organizations signed on to it, explaining why we were not going to take him up on that and offering to provide a venue to debate him on the issue. And he did not reply at all to our letter. Makes me wonder, you know, how serious he was about it in the first place. But over the years, Hansen has gone from someone who's advocating safer reactors and understanding that nuclear power has to be made cheaper because it's not, you know, it's not economically competitive right now, especially new reactors are even less competitive than the existing ones. And he's gone from that to someone who's, you know, advocating continued operations of the oldest and most dangerous reactors in the United States. And is also advocated, by the way, and he's gone to foundations and advocating not funding environmental groups that oppose nuclear power.
Oh, boy.
He's going, you know, he's gone directly to them and saying you should stop funding these groups. And that's not only groups like NIRS, which are, you know, exist to oppose nuclear power, but groups like NRDC and others who have, they're not even opposed to nuclear power. They're skeptical of nuclear power. And he's been doing that kind of thing. And, you know, that sort of goes beyond the pale a little bit, I think, and urging the idea that Illinois citizens who, you know, already have a big state budget on their backs should pay more for their electricity just because it comes from these aging, uneconomic and really unsafe nuclear reactors. That is an enormous difference. And for him to be, you know, what I consider so wrong on this issue, so out of what I would call mainstream thinking on this issue even, you know, if you read the local press, you know, even the business magazines or the business newspapers like Cranes, they're not supporting Exelon on this. A lot of Exelon supporters in the legislature are finding it difficult to support Exelon on this, which is why for 2 years Exelon has failed to get any of these subsidies. So for him to be that removed from what makes sense for Illinois and, you know, even what makes sense for the climate, because we can do better than these reactors for the climate, makes me question his entire body of work. And I hate to have to say that, to be honest, but it does.
Right. Well, I think we're going to have to leave it at that, Michael. We're starting to run out of time, unless there's anything that you'd like to add quickly as we wrap up.
Well, the only thing I would like to add, and this is sort of a fun little thing, is that our colleagues in Illinois at Nuclear Energy Information Service, NEIS, a little bit different from our group, but same kind of awkward name, recently took the letter that Environmental Progress Illinois sent to the state legislature. That's Michael Schellenberger's group, and Dr. Hansen was signed on to this letter. And they sort of added in their own comments showing where Environmental Progress Illinois was wrong and why this is a terrible idea to bail out these reactors. And we published that on Green World or on our blog at safeenergy.org. And I think it would be a fun thing for your listeners to go to and take a look at, because it's a really good way to respond to the kinds of, you know, misleading statements these kinds of groups make.
We've been talking with Michael Marriott, the longtime leader of the anti-nuclear group Nuclear Information and Resource Service. You can find them at NIRS.org. And, you know, I'll put links for both groups and the Green World blog and everything we've talked about, really, in my own show blog, published every Wednesday at ecoshock.info. Michael, thank you so much for stepping up again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm Alex Smith.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.